Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Saturday.
Doesn't look good, Coach.
Can he play?
He's in a coma.
Answer my question. Can he play?
With Joe Fisher and Rashad Taylor.
I don't even think he can breathe. We got to get him to a hospital immediately.
Brought to you by Philbrook Law. Accident and injury lawyers. Your local law team.
You listen to me right now. I don't care what you have to do. Reggie Ray stays in the game, damn it!
Sports Saturday, brought to you by Philbrook Law. Accident and injury lawyers on the Fan Sports Network. 105.1 and 1080.
Somebody jump on sides, damn!
The Fan.
Good morning! Welcome into Sports Saturday right here on 105.1 The Fan, 1080 The Fan, the Odyssey app. YouTube and Twitch for the kids. I'm Joe Fisher III. Across the faux marble table, Rashad Taylor.
What up, though?
And across the glass, that is not Jordan Schultz. No, no, no.
I was like,
That's Casey Kasem. Yeah. This generation's Casey Kasem.
How you doing?
I was like, who's the tech guy? I thought IT was here. Something had broke on the board. And I was like, man, who's the kid in there? Whose kid is that? Slag, is that your son?
No, yeah. No, we don't do an internship program. That is a paid Odyssey employee back there.
Sir, where are your parents, man?
Like, certified.
Look back there. Seriously, Swag was in here, and I looked over at first. And he was like, oh, did you meet Casey? And I was like, oh, is that your son? Like, is this your, I don't know, are you visiting from college? What's up, bro? Like, yeah.
Yeah, we got Casey in the building. I met Casey a couple times. We hung out last week after our show. He was over at the Grand Central Bowl for pregame show. But yeah, Casey's in because Jordan, the slacker, he wants to go watch the Mariners in the ALDS.
How selfish
today.
To go watch your favorite team in the playoffs for the first time in,
I know,
you know, a decade now.
Yeah. We're going to get into the playoffs a little bit later. Because there's I'm curious as far as, well, seeing Casey's hat in there. I definitely know what he wants to have play out in these playoffs. Wearing a Yankee hat back there. But yeah, we'll get into some playoff stuff later, but I figured with young Casey in the building here that we do a little, get to know Casey.
I think it's fun.
Let's do it. Yeah. I got a couple questions here and I'm, you know, this could be opened up to you, Rashad. You can share your, answers on some of these. This can be opened up to the text line 503-864-6326. You can text in some of your answers here, but, I'm curious, with Casey, being how old are you, Casey?
I just turned 24.
24. Oh, let's go.
What an age, man.
I think I started here when I was 23. Yeah, because it was 2015, right? I'm trying to do math. Mental math, not my strong suit after I left college. So
I was...
I was 10 years ago. I'm 33. Yeah, I was 23. So I was right around your age when I started here.
Yeah, it'll be going on 12 years for me. So I was 30?
30?
Yeah.
Yeah. Look at that.
It's crazy.
Spent a lifetime here.
Yeah.
Spent a lifetime.
It's been a long time, man.
All right, so we got young Casey, young 24-year-old Casey in here. And also, I'd like to figure out, like, the generational gap. You know, like, what is he like as far as sports stuff, lifestyle here, and figure out a little bit.
He can put us on a little lingo, too. Like, maybe he knows 6'7", you know what I'm saying? Like, maybe he knows what I mean, you know what I'm saying?
Chat, am I cooked?
Yeah, am I cooked, chat, yeah.
I love throwing those out to my son, and then I just get a head shake, just disgusted in me. Yes.
No, it's funny when you, especially, you know, I work around teenagers, so I work in high schools, and so I like to just say stuff like that just around them, you know, being like, what's up, like, chat? You know what I'm saying? When I come into the room and everything, just to see what people say.
They're like,
it's pretty funny. Like, yeah, it's real funny to watch your reaction.
You idiot.
It's not even how you say it. All right, bro.
All right, so first question here, and Swag already kind of spoiled it for us, but for our listening audience, Casey, I need the sports team affiliations. What set do you rep in sports?
So I'm a Yankees fan when it comes to baseball.
Okay, that's, you know, off to a bad start.
Yeah. I already talked about it on Dirt and Sprague, but my dad was a diehard Pittsburgh Pirates fan. He looked at me and said, no thanks, you don't have to do that.
That's a good father.
I'm not gonna put that pressure on you. But I'm a Pittsburgh Steelers fan, diehard.
It's not getting better.
And then that's probably about it. Don't really have a basketball team because I'm a huge Carmelo Anthony fan, and so I kind of hate how they did my boy.
See, this is the new.
I like you, man. I'm a huge Melo fan as well.
This is the new. Said you got to come off the bench.
Yeah, come on, man.
This is the new generation. Is you know, being a fan of players versus teams. I feel like that's more of an NBA thing.
Well, no, I mean it's definitely an NBA thing because as a kid, my favorite players were like Larry Johnson and Alonzo Mourning when he played for, yeah. So, I mean, I always liked players. You know, I was a big Penny fan. You know what I mean? Shaq was every kid's favorite player when in like 92 through like 94.
I was a big Earl Boykins fan.
See? You know what I mean? And sometimes you just like a guy from another team because of the way they play, but you don't necessarily love that. I was a Kobe fan. Kobe is my favorite player of all time. Couldn't stand the Lakers. Kobe was my guy, though. You know what I mean? So it was just kind of one of those things.
I love me some Baron Davis, too. Some BD.
Who doesn't love Baron Davis?
Oh, man. Started liking him in his Charlotte and New Orleans days, and then he went to Golden State and had the 8-seed upset.
He had bounce when he was in Charlotte, though. Like, he could really get up.
Well,
so not a Blazers fan?
Well,
not really a basketball fan.
Okay, fair enough.
Well, let's be real. I don't think you're going to become a Blazers fan anytime soon with what they're putting out on the court.
I don't know, man. You might become a fan of some players, you know, always, more than anything.
Always love Dame Lillard. Always rep the Dame Lillard shoes, too.
Yeah. Yang Gang, perhaps. Okay. Maybe he becomes a Yang Gang. Yang Bonsen.
I think that kid's going to be a star.
I sure hope so.
Hey, man.
All right, so sports teams. All right, so we might be able to get some answers based off of your favorite sports team, but what teams do you hate the most?
Dallas Cowboys, New England Patriots.
Oh, what? So you had a friend for a second. For 1 second, you had a friend.
So you literally hate my team, the Cowboys, and you hate Rashad's team, the Patriots.
Like, come on, man. I was saying? What was I saying in the break? You know what? I don't hate Pittsburgh. You know, it's cool. Like, Pittsburgh's probably the one team that most people, unless you're in that division, don't hate. They're like, oh, it's cool, the tradition. I like Mike Tomlin. There's something about Pittsburgh you liked. Now, guess what? Hate the Steelers. One of the worst franchises ever.
Sorry,
this defense is trash.
Is it something to do with the fight for the most trophies?
As 100%.
That is why I hate the Steelers, too. Yeah, I hate the Steelers because they got to six before my Cowboys. That's why I hate the 49ers. That's why I hate the Patriots, too. It's because we're all jockeying for the most Super Bowls of all time.
I also never forget the Jesse James catch. He caught it.
Oh.
The fact that they ruled that incompletion
is
gross. It's gross.
Watch it. It's incomplete.
He makes a receiver move.
The ref made the right call.
He makes a receiver move.
You know, it's funny. That just popped up on one of my timelines recently, and that had completely left my sports memory, and then it came back in. I was like, oh,
real
man,
quick. Listen, it was an incomplete pass. the Brady against the Raiders was an incomplete pass. Like, come on, man. Like,
Dez was a catch.
Should have been a touchdown. Game should be over.
It seems that the Patriots just get away with it every single year. The Tuck rule, the Jesse James catch.
Yeah. Hey. I'm with it. I understand it. You know, sometimes it just takes that to sour your opinions on a certain team. So I respect it. I respect it. All right. Best live sporting event you ever went to?
Ooh. Probably, I think it was game 5, not the one where the Blazers clinched it, not the one where Dame hit a shot, but the one where Mo Williams had like 15 off the bench, that Blazers playoff game. I went with my dad and my brother. That was a real fun event.
Let me see here. Let me see if I can go through the Mo Williams basketball reference here. Also, Mo Williams, one of the, I believe, three former All-Stars that Damian Lillard ever played with in a Blazers jersey. We went through this like a couple weeks ago. Was LaMarcus Aldridge, Chris Kaman, who made one All-Star with the Clippers, and then Mo Williams made an All-Star at one point in his career. Let me see if I can find what game that was here in his playoff tenure. With the Blazers, was
it? I want to say it was Game Five because Game Six Dame hit the shot. So I want to say it was the game before Dame hit the shot.
Yeah. So it was Portland versus Houston. Yep.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. Okay. Yep. Gotcha. And I'm seeing. Was it? Was it an overtime win or an overtime loss?
I think it was overtime win.
Okay. Gotcha. That was Game Four. Game 123-120. That was the series that LaMarcus Aldridge was dropping 40 points like every game.
The first like four games of the series, he was killing.
It's remembered for Lillard making the shot, but I remember LaMarcus was just feasting that entire series.
There's nothing they could do about that dude. That's when I think everybody discovered, oh, he's the best power forward in the league. I think there's nothing you can do right with him right now.
That's when the league discovered Pat Beverly too.
Pat Bev.
That didn't last long. That didn't last long. That was his, you know, Pat Bev for all his stuff is, I guess you gotta love Pat Bev just because he says it. It's funny, but sometimes, like, bro, you gotta chill.
LaMarcus, 46 in game one, 43 in game two. Game three, he had, scrolling, only 23 in game three. Bum.
Only his average, right?
Yeah. Game four, which is the game that young Casey went to, 29 in that victory. And, Mo Williams off the bench, he had 9, but that was...
Yeah, but he shot the ball 11 times. That's what I remember.
It's like, keep chucking him,
yeah,
Mo.
Yeah, he's going to get him up.
And then what else did LaMarcus do? And then, only 8 in the game five that they lost. And then in that final game, game six for the Blazers. And the Blazers win for the first time in 14 years.
And that was that Dame shot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So I remember
that Mike Tirico call is one of my favorite calls of all time.
So I gave my, I had a ticket for that game. And so my friend of the station, friend of the show, my guy Deloney gave me a ticket and was like, man, I only have one though. And I was like, man, I don't want to go to the game myself. Like, that's crazy.
I remember you telling that story.
And
yeah.
I was like, that's crazy. I can't believe you. And so I gave the ticket to my man Chris. I didn't know where the ticket was. I didn't even look at it. Gave it to him. It was literally like three rows behind the bench or something like that.
Oh, yeah. I told you, you could have rubbed elbows, networked.
And
you know?
So when Dame hits that shot and things go, it's on a Friday night. I'll never forget that. And things go crazy. I remember that because, like, I think Rose Festival was happening at that point. And so we were all just kind of trafficking around downtown. But that was an awesome night. I wish I would have actually gone to the game, though.
Woof. That's a missed opportunity, Rashad.
That was kicking the balls right there.
All right, Casey. If you could go to any sporting event, what would it be?
Past or present?
That's a good one. How about both?
I would probably say, maybe the Immaculate Reception. Yeah, probably the Immaculate Reception.
Just go back in the 70s. What was that?
Is that 80s?
80? I know swag is right outside the building. You can tell us what year it was. I feel like that was 80 or 78, 79. Oh, wow, 72.
Yeah, way earlier 72.
Yeah, Immaculate Reception, huh? All right, what about just a sporting event in general? Like if I, like... Like, I want to go to the Masters, you know? I'd love to go to the Masters one day. Sunday at the Masters, that'd be a great experience. Is there a certain sporting event that's on the bucket list for you?
Probably Game 7, New York Yankees.
Oh.
That's just, if I could go to a game, think about future, Game 7 Yankees in New York.
That's a good one. That's a good one. I'm convinced that nobody goes to Yankee games, but... guys that are in between the age of 24 and 35. It seems like every time they pan the crowd, it's just nothing but...
There's some old sitting around along first base.
It's just nothing but Yankee bros in the whole stadium, it feels like.
Yeah. I don't know, man. Yankee games seemed like they'd be too intense.
Yeah.
Like, as just like a casual fan, like, yeah, no, I'm cool.
All right. And then favorite athletes currently and ever. I know you dropped the Carmelo Anthony.
Yeah, Carmelo. I'm a big Robinson Cano fan. I also talked about that on Dirt and Sprite, but Robinson Cano is my favorite baseball player by far.
He's a
big lefty who, you know, could crank home runs and also stood out on a team with Derek Jeter, A-Rod, Jorge Posada, Mark Teixeira. Again, stood out and led the team despite, you know, not being the star.
What's funny is that the producer, who is normally here, Jordan Schultz, would probably have a very different opinion about Robinson Cano being a Seattle Mariner fan.
Very, yes.
That guy, he took money from us. He robbed us.
Yeah. That's a great Jordan impression, man.
I thought that pisses me off.
Oh, that pisses me right off. Yeah, I love it.
On the text line, huge Tony Kukoc fan. Someone chiming in on the, oh, that's my brother-in-law.
Oh, that's a...
I recognize the
Tony
number.
Tony Kukoc was really cold. We forget, like, when Jordan retired, there was a, like, he... I don't know if he was an all-star, but he should have been. Like, there was some years Tony Kukoc was absolutely... You know, the Bulls had four Hall of Famers when they were winning championships.
I still see a lot of those jerseys.
Yeah. They had four Hall of Famers, bro. Like, that's insane.
I love the bit from the... what was the Last Dance when they talked about Tony Kukoc and how, like, he came over from, where is he? What country is he from? But basically it was just like, you know, they were trying to give him a bunch of S, like, just being like, oh, he's European, he's weak, you know, like, we'll be able to rattle him. And that, you know, I think Scotty was pissed about Tony Kukoc coming in and getting more play and, you know, getting more shots up. And then he ended up being cold as ice too.
Tony Kukoc, yeah.
Croatia.
One of those ones, man.
And then them getting to him in the Olympics also, just going after him.
He was a kid then, and then he figured it out a few years later, like, I can do this. I can play here.
Someone chiming in, Rufio on the text line. I'm also a big Penny fan. First jersey I ever had.
Penny was so cold. A 6'8 point guard that can move like that.
Yep.
Handles, could dunk, could shoot. Like, Penny was different.
All right. Well, Casey, glad to have you in here today, my man.
Glad to be here.
Yeah. We're building the roster back up. We lost Buck yesterday, Ryan Buckley. It was his last show on primetime and at the Fan. He's going over to Coin and C-Dub, who is a partner of ours.
Yes, sir.
So, you know, he's
congratulations, man.
He's not going to be a stranger. And then Jordan Schultz, he's out today, but he will be back, I believe, on Monday. He'll be filling in for primetime until they get that all sorted out. And then we'll add someone else to the bench. I mean, we got options. We lost Will recently, and so now we're down two producers. I mean, we got money. We got bucks.
We got
to
money
throw
to
around.
Spend. So let's go.
That big radio money to throw around. All right, let's get into things. Are we about to hit an all-time low?
I don't know.
I'll tell you what I mean. We get to that next here, Sports Saturday on the Fan.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys?
Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back in Sports Saturday here on the Fan Sports Network. Rashad, I said before we went to break there, let me adjust myself here in the chair. All right, I'm comfortable now. I asked him, like, are we about to hit an all-time low? We went to break, and then in between commercials there, you said, I assume we're talking about Oregon State. Unfortunately, you'd be right, my man. Casey, you're an Oregon State grad, right?
Go Beavs.
That was the... Yeah, it's a tough time. But I would say that if... And they shouldn't. They're favored. I think the ESPN predictor or whatever says that Oregon State should win today. But if they lose this game today, I think it is an all-time low of this Oregon State program. I mean...
The Beavs are the one program to where them being favored doesn't matter. They were favored against Cal. They lost that one. You know, so.
Oh, no. App State, it switched. 1.5-point favorite. Hey, no one's giving them a chance. No one's giving the Beavers a chance, right? That's rat poison right there.
And it's become really hard to watch. That game last week was like, okay, cool. For 3.5 quarters of that game, The Beavers are going to do it. They're finally going to win a game. They're going to. This will change things, right? You know, they get that first win. The attitudes change. Students start to feel like they can actually compete, and we're going to be fine as we move forward. Just have to tighten things up, and then they just 17 unanswered to end the game. Like, what a way! What a way to lose and continue the losing. It's one of the worst starts in Oregon State history. Like, I can imagine right now, if you're a student or if you're a fan right now, you're in the dumps right now because you're frustrated with your team. You're frustrated with the coach. You're frustrated just overall, like, with the direction of the squad. Special teams is the one thing you can fix right now. Of everything that's going on, some things you won't be able to fix throughout the season.
I
don't know, but I think of everything. Look at all the holes that they have right now. Like, defensively, they're not where they're supposed to be. Offensively, they're way behind what we figured they would be, you know, right now. Right, really, special teams and the mistakes that they're making is the only thing they can really kind of shore up right now before the season is over. And because that's really what's cost them games, in my opinion, is having a crap special teams unit.
Yeah. I was really trying to think of, like, has there been a lower point for Oregon State? I remember a few years ago, I think the previous all-time low was when Gary Anderson left in the middle of the season and was like, keep your buyout. Like, you can keep the money. And then it was Corey Hall was the interim coach. Remember Hall in for a little bit?
The motto at that point. That didn't last for long.
And then they went 1-11 that year. But then they jumped, they got Jonathan Smith, got him in the program. I mean, it didn't get much better the next year. They went 2-10. But if you go start this season 0-6, which I mean, I'm sure there's some stats going around or somewhere someone knows what the worst start is in Oregon State. But if you go 0-6 and your sixth loss is against Appalachian State, which wasn't even an FBS program until like 4 years ago.
Yeah.
3-4 years ago. Then, that's going to be woof. It looks like App State will be starting a quarterback that will make his first start ever for App State, JJ Cole. So they're getting some fresh meat there, back at quarterback for App State. But yeah, man, it's just, I don't know. And one, if they lose this game, Trent Bray has to be fired. I know that after like December 1st or whatever, they don't have to let the buyout reduces to like $1 million or something like that, or it goes away. I can't remember what the exact terms of it was, but screw it. And just fire him. And there's also part of me that's like, you should fire him for something like that, but also like, what are you trying to salvage with this season at this point? Like,
I mean, the only thing you can tell, I mean, you're trying to salvage your players' like peace of mind and confidence and all those things. That's what you're really trying to save, is to make sure that you can get them to understand that, hey, man, these things happened. We just got to go out there and compete hard and all these things. Make sure that kind of keeps spirits up. That's really all you can do right now, is try to get these kids to play hard. That's really, at this point, you're 0-6. Let's go. I'm going to go ahead and mark it. I don't think they're going to win this game.
No.
I'm sorry. I can't depend on this team as it's constructed. I can't depend on Trent Bray as the head coach. I can't depend on special teams. There are just too many things. And I'll be honest, I don't know anything about Appalachian State. I couldn't tell you who their quarterback is.
I just know that they beat Michigan that one time.
That one time. Yeah. A couple of days, some like years ago.
15 years ago? Yeah. Something so like that, 20 years ago?
Yeah. So outside of that, I don't know anything about this team. I know a lot about this Oregon State team, and that's enough for me to say, yeah, I don't know if they're going to win this game either.
2007.
I thought Trent Bray would have been fired after the loss last week. I said this. I was like, man, if he still has a job on Monday, I would be surprised.
Yeah, and I kind of pushed back on that because I was just like, well, you know, if he had truly lost this team, they wouldn't have put up the performance they did last Friday night. But then I really started thinking about it like after our show, and as the week went on, I was just like, the way they lost, that is just your
style points.
Yeah, it's like you're finding new ways to lose games and blow them down the stretch. Like, that's. Yeah, I was with you. I was like, yeah, it's pretty surprising that he didn't get fired. But I don't know, man. This administration I think they're just trying to push the can down the road until they get to that December 1st date, and then they can make the move happen. Because, again, it's just, should they fire him? Yes. If they lose to App State, Definitely yes, but it's just like, well, for what?
And if you look at their schedule, a few of these games they should probably lose. They should probably lose to Texas Tech. They're going to lose to Oregon. Outside of that,
well, you lose to.
No, I'm saying, but
oh, if you look at their schedule,
yeah, they, yeah, yeah. You know, you should lose to them, but you should beat Cal and you should beat Fresno State and you should beat Sam Houston.
Like, yeah, there's no reason.
Or excuse me, you should beat Houston. I'm sorry, I keep saying Sam Houston. You should beat Houston.
Well, you should definitely beat Sam Houston.
Yeah, you should definitely beat them. But then, even still, it's like,
is Sam Houston on the schedule this year? Because I know they play a lot of random, like, Lafayette.
Sam Houston is on the schedule.
That has to be a win. Sam Houston is literally one of the worst programs in college football.
It should be a win, but Fresno State should have been a win. And
I'm telling you, if Oregon State loses to Sam Houston, that's a god-awful football team right there. Oregon State is better than Sam Houston. They better get that dub. All right?
Yes, they are. I'm curious to know, Oregon State fan, like, Oregon State alum, like, Where's your team right now, man? This is crap, and this is hard to watch.
It's hard to watch because I think we're playing as individual units rather than a team. Like, you're watching the offense go out there, the defense go out there, and then a special teams unit go out there, and not at all are you seeing anyone get excited after anyone makes a play. It's all just going through the motions. So it's tough to watch.
That's tough. Yeah, it's sounds like a marriage that's just should be divorced. Like, you're just going through the motions at this point. Like, you're waking up, going to work, coming home, eating spaghetti for the third time this week. Yeah, and you hate your wife, you hate your husband. You just want to call it and just like, let's just be done with this. All right, what are we doing? Well, I'm pulling for him today. For the love of God, Rashad's not clearly.
I mean, listen, you know how I feel about Oregon State. I love Oregon State. I want them to do well. You know, I think the city is better. This state is better when Oregon and Oregon State are both thriving. I think this is a better place to be. And then if the Blazers are good, then watch out, man. This is just a crazy place to live. So, yes, I'm always pulling for Oregon State, especially when they're playing against anybody other than Oregon. So, yes, man. So this is just disappointing to see. And now that I know what I'm looking at, I don't know if they're going to win this game. I hope they do, but I'm not going to bet on them to do that.
App State versus Oregon State. That is a 12:30 kick today on ESPN Plus. App State is 2-2 with wins against Charlotte, who is a god awful program as well. You want to talk about one of the worst in college football? That's Charlotte. They beat Charlotte and then Lindenwood, who sounds made up but is actually a school. They barely beat them 20-13. And then they lost at Southern Miss 38-22, got crushed by Boise State 47-14. So, and it looks like they'll be starting their backup quarterback today. So, 12:30, I'll have my eyes on this beach game. Well, yeah, actually.
Will you?
I do have my son's soccer game.
Yeah, I mean.
That starts at 1:30, though. I'll catch the first half. You know,
always watch it on your phone as you're watching your son's soccer game, too.
Hey, CVSC. Newburgh Tigers, we got a big game today, all right? We're I believe we're playing the number one team in the standings, all right? We got to get 3 points today.
I'm not mad at it.
We're trying to win the league.
I'm not mad at it.
I'm just going to go absolutely in on these guys if they drop this game. I swear.
You're out of the family. You're out of the will, Joey.
Yeah, definitely. Show up. All right. Well, there's a beef segment. Also, we got some other games in college football today. Believe it or not, Rashad, there is other college football.
I mean, I would hope so to wash the taste of the Beavers out of my mouth later on this afternoon, but yeah.
Whoa. Excuse me?
Oh, yeah. I said what I said. No. Said what I said, though.
My God. It's getting hot in here. Yeah, we'll look at the college slate today. I'm curious where the upset is. Where's the top 25 upset?
There's going to be one.
Because, yeah, I mean, every week, whether it's college football or NFL, we go into a slate in a week where it's like, there's not really any good games this week. Nah. But there's going to be some craziness. So we try and find where on the schedule today it is. We do that next here. But first, Casey with a SportsCenter update. No Ducks this weekend. They are on a bye week. A much needed bye week after that crazy game last Saturday. We're going to get to that in the next segment.
Are we? Okay, good.
Yeah. No, I figure we would, you know, it's been a week, but I figure we shall recant the game that was at Penn State. Also, I want to tell you about my buddy's experience, because he went to the game.
Yeah, I remember he was going to call in at a point.
Yeah, I couldn't. He said there was no service out there. And
he
that was basically.
He was just hammered at 10 o'clock in the morning and didn't want to talk.
Probably. But yeah, my buddy Tanner, I do a podcast with him, Fish and Toast. You can find it anywhere you get your podcasts. That's a shameless plug there. But yeah, just tell you about what he experienced out there and then also just go over the game. You know, we'll do that in the next segment. But there is other college football today. I think this is nice because when you get the bye week, it's like, you know what, let's just get a lay of the land.
We forget that there are other teams that are playing. We're so, you know, fixated on what the Ducks and what the Beavs are doing that we don't really talk about a lot of the other schools that aren't named Penn State and Ohio State.
Well, and especially with like Ducks, and this year I started doing the Ducks postgame show. Like, I am locked in on that game. Mm-hmm. Like, I am not watching anything else. Like, last week I did not watch any of the Bama Georgia game. I caught the highlights later and, you know, read all the box scores and, you know, learned a little bit more about it after the fact. But
man, you can watch a whole game on YouTube in 20 minutes now.
Oh, yeah. Well, and then I know that some of these, you know, like conference channels, like the Big Ten Network, SEC Network, they'll do the games in like 60 minutes. They'll cut out all the fluff and everything, mm-hmm. and they'll just, you know, so you can catch the game on a Monday or Tuesday and just get the whole game or key plays in a 1 hour interval there. But yeah, there's plenty of other college football today. There's some games going on right now. There is a top 25 team that is in danger at the moment. Cincinnati is up 10-0 on Iowa State. Cincinnati was actually favored in this game. It's at Cincinnati. Iowa State, they're undefeated, 5-0, 2-0 in the Big 12. Right now, it's between them and Texas Tech as the cream of the crop in the Big 12. But Cincinnati, again, favored going into this game. They have the 10-0 lead with 4 minutes left to go in the first quarter. In Michigan, in the Big House, it's 7-7. Michigan over Wisconsin right now. Wisconsin has the ball. 5 minutes left to go in the first quarter there. Illinois right now losing to Purdue 7-0.
Come on, Illini. Come on, Illini. Let's go, man. Don't do this to me this week.
You were pretty happy last week.
I was pretty happy last week. They were out there doing victory. Their damn thing.
Bounce back victory for your Illini against USC of all teams.
It was a great game.
It was
a
good game.
That was a really good game that they played against USC last week. Casey, I picked Illinois as one of my sneaky teams to make it into the playoff this year. I think they did really well last year, and nobody really saw that coming. They return a lot of guys this year, so it was like, yeah, I think Illinois could be good. Despite that loss that they had a couple weeks ago, I do still think that they're going to win this game against Purdue because they were also down against USC, and they won that game. So,
some other games on the docket, though, top 25 games that are intriguing, but we're trying to find the upset. We're trying to find the top 25 upset because there are some top 25 matchups that remain today. Actually, two top 25 matchups that remain on the schedule today at 12:30, Vanderbilt at Alabama. That one getting a lot of attention, obviously, because of the result from last year with Alabama losing to Vanderbilt in Vandy. Goalpost got taken down. It was the beginning of the legacy of Diego Pavia, who said this week that, and I'm paraphrasing here, if we play our game, this won't be close, is what he said about the Alabama game today. So,
okay.
He's calling a shot. I love it. And then later tonight at 4:30, you got Miami at Florida State. But again, there's a lot of unranked teams playing top 25 teams. You got Mississippi State at Texas A&M, Minnesota at Ohio State. The game that is like the unranked versus a top 25 that is the closest spread right now, Texas at Florida. Texas is only a 4.5-point favorite against Florida.
Yeah, that's great. You said Texas is the favorite?
Texas, okay, yeah, they're the favorite, but only 4.5 points.
You know,
this is the most mid quarterback matchup on this slate.
It really is. And and Arch Manning is one of the quarterbacks, which is crazy. If we'd have set this at the beginning of the season.
Well, hell, DJ Lagway. I loved me some DJ Lagway coming into the season. And I saw a crazy stat that I think he has like one completion over 20 yards this year. DJ Lagway?
Just checking down or incompletions or whatever the case is. Either way, it's not going to be a lot of fun to watch. I expect Texas to win this game, but how Texas would it be for them to lose to Florida today?
I'm pulling for it.
Yeah, I think that would be awesome if they lost to Florida.
You also,
know? Considering the way Florida's season's gone so far, like, yeah, I think this would be a huge shot in the arm for the Gators if they were able to knock off the Longhorns today. I think that would be awesome.
Well, also, Texas lost some aura points for me Casey knows that one. He knows the aura. See, dropping that that lingo, dropping that Gen Alpha lingo, baby. They had negative aura a week or so ago against Sam Houston when Arch Manning ran a touchdown in and lowered his shoulder on a Sam Houston player and then flexed on the Sam Houston player and stood over him and kind of gave like a grimace, like he did something special, like he didn't just score a touchdown on Sam Houston. That was it was very cringe. It was a very cringe moment where I saw that and I'm like, really? And then the Texas social medias ran with it and a few others. They were like, oh, yeah, Arch has got his swagger back. And I was like,
does he though?
No, he doesn't. I would say no. That is negative swagger for doing that on Sam Houston.
Yeah, I mean, Arches.
That's like dunking on your nephew.
Yeah, you dunked on the
on
eighth
a 7 foot hoop.
You played in the teen the teen staff game, and you dunked on the eighth grader and stared him down, gave him a little like.
Hey, yeah. I would say if I'm playing in that game and I'm a teacher and I'm dropping buckets on an eighth grader.
That's pretty much what they were doing. They were dropping buckets on eighth graders. You know, when they were playing against Sam Houston. That's
honestly,
pretty much what they reduced it. What they were doing.
I'll give anyone a pass on that one. Yeah. That's actually kind of funny moment right there. But yeah, it was just one of
you
those.
You want to dunk on a kid so bad.
It's funny.
Yeah, it is pretty cool to dunk on it. I'll be honest, man.
It's hilarious. Come on, knock them down a few pegs. So eighth graders think they're so cool.
I want to be able to dunk, period. What are you talking about?
Yeah, it's Rashad can dunk. I have seen the video evidence. Yeah. Well, actually,
I'm a little older now, so probably not, but I'll definitely try it again. We should go record it.
I was going to say, when was that video taken?
That was like 4 years ago. My son was a fifth grader. Yeah, so he's a freshman now, so that was 4 years ago.
Think you'd still do it?
I mean, I'm a lot lighter now, so probably.
Yeah?
Yeah.
More aerodynamic?
You know, yeah, I'm probably 40 pounds lighter than I was then, so yeah, probably.
Well, looking at the schedule, I mean, Penn State definitely not losing to UCLA today. Yeah. Boise State,
that
definitely.
That was the one for me. I could see Boise State.
I think
Notre Dame.
Well, Notre Dame, they are a two-loss team that they cannot trip up anymore.
And Boise State is the perfect type of team to trip you up.
I think the pressure in that Notre Dame locker room is we have to be perfect the rest of the season if we want to make the college football playoff.
Well, if we want to talk about real football, then we should be talking about my UNLV Rebels 4-0 against the Wyoming Cowboys. See, that's the disrespect.
We don't need to do that.
Disrespect, man, just because it's not Oregon. What do you mean?
4-0,
making it 5.
Kent State will get blown out by Oklahoma. Texas Tech playing Houston at Houston. Texas Tech, a 12.5-point favorite there. Texas Tech has not, they're undefeated. They're 4-0. They have not had a one-possession game yet. They have won every single one of their games handily. Now, granted, they have played AR Pine Bluff, Arkansas Pine Bluff. They have played Kent State and Oregon State. The toughest opponent they've had is so far is Utah. That was a couple weeks ago, or was it last week that game happened? But it was pretty ugly for the first like three quarters of that game. Texas Tech had like a billion false start penalties in Utah. I think they had 8 false start penalties, and I'm not even kidding. But they ended up winning that one 34-10. So Texas Tech right now is looking like a wagon.
Yeah. I know we have to break, but for me, also looking at this, and I know they're both top 25 matches, but Florida State against Miami today.
Yeah.
You know, Florida State 3-1, they're playing good football. When they're winning games, they're putting up points.
Coming off against a tough loss against Virginia.
Always a little more motivated after a loss to go in there and play some tough football. So I
playing
could see
a rival.
And you're at home against Miami, number 3. I could totally see Florida State taking down the Hurricanes today. I hope not, but yeah.
And then the Jason Swigard game of the week brought to you by... Let's see. I'll go American Express here because there's an American Express flag. The Jason Swigard Game of the Week brought to you by American Express. Virginia at Louisville. He says keep an eye on that one because either team that comes out with a dub, they've got a pretty nice schedule the rest of the way in the ACC to possibly make the ACC championship game. And would it not be very Miami-esque for them to beat Florida State today and then lose to Louisville next week?
If you expect anything from... You said Florida or Miami. Yeah, if you expect anything from Miami like I do, then probably.
Miami also, they have not left the state of Florida yet. This isn't an away game, but obviously it's at Florida State for them today. They have not left the state of Florida yet this season.
How convenient.
Yeah. And they will not leave the state of Florida until November 1st when they play SMU.
Wow. That's, I mean, seriously. And that's,
I don't know.
You think about how much of an advantage that is, you know, for the first half of your season, really, is you don't have to leave the state, you know, bus ride. No need to even get on a plane. Everything is a bus ride. I mean, you can sleep in your own bed for the most part through most of these games. So that's a huge advantage for them. So there's no wonder that they're playing as well as they're playing to start the season.
All right. But if I'm going to choose an upset today, if I'm choosing an upset, any of the top 25, I'm putting my name on it. Mississippi State goes into Kyle Field, beats Texas A&M. Mm. I'm calling it. Blake Shapen, they should have had that game last week against Tennessee, and they fell just a little bit short of overtime. That's a classic Texas A&M gack down your leg there, is not being able to beat Mississippi State at home. That's classic Texas A&M right there. Put my name on it.
Yeah, man. I think I'm really going to take Florida State over Miami today at home.
I love it.
I think that's going to be a great game for both teams. Miami is on to a great start, you know, without Cam Ward this year, 4-0, hoping to make it 5-0. But this Florida State team, like you said, coming off that loss last week, is going to be motivated. So I'm hoping to see a great game. But yeah, I think Florida State could definitely play spoiler today.
Those are some games today. Let's go back a week though and recant the story of Oregon beating Penn State. We do that next here on Sports Saturday on the Fan Sports Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, we are 1 week removed from one of the best just football games I've ever watched. I mean, you know, take the fandom side out of it. That Oregon Penn State game last week, that was a classic, man. That was an all time banger. That's what I said, like, in the post game show. Had Anthony Newman on and had Dusty on, but I said to Anthony, I was like, man, just as football fans, what a great game that was last week. It was looking like it was in that fourth quarter starting to head one direction with the Ducks going up 17-3, and then bam, 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 four or five plays, Penn State scores in less than 2 minutes, make it 17-10, and then they're able to have that long, sustained drive to tie the game in the fourth quarter, and then we get the double OT, and we get back-to-back interceptions to end it. We get the interception on the two-point conversion and then the interception to end the game. And Dante Moore's avoiding sacks and throwing for touchdowns. And Drew Aller's looking like he's about to pass out there every time he's calling a play. And then, of course, you get the patented Drew Aller mistake. It was just pad-popping run game from Oregon, big hits left and right. I mean, it was just a fun game. But most importantly, ended with a Ducks dub.
Man, so funny story. So I have to go to a play, and I'm like, ugh, I don't want to do that and everything. The play ended up being very good, though. So I'll say that. I'll preface my comments.
Roses were
that.
Thrown on the stage afterwards?
I didn't stay till the end, but I stayed long enough to see, like, it was a really good play. So I have to see the end of it because it was pretty good.
What was it? Pippin?
No, it's, she's going to be mad.
Book of Mormon?
The club blue. I forget it. It was like about a jazz club in like the 1920s and stuff like that.
Sinners?
But, no, it wasn't that. But it was, you know,
Jersey Boys.
Sinner vibes, which is a great play, you know, by the way, Jersey Boys. I have to watch the game. The play has started, so I have to watch the game on my phone, like the end of the game. I thought by time the play would start, the game should have been over. But they go into overtime, and I'm like, damn it, I have to So now I got to make a decision. Do I go into the play or do I stay out here and finish watching the game on my phone? It's like, I'm going to go inside. So I turn my the brightness on my phone all the way down, turn the volume all the way off. I'm sitting nearest the like the production table and stuff like that, the sound and everything like that.
You were watching two plays. Basically,
I got it close to my body, so nobody can see it and everything.
I'm just thinking, like in this play, a sad moment happens, and Rashad just yes.
So listen. Dante Moore throws the touchdown right there in overtime.
Yeah.
Is the sound I make. Mind you, it's completely silent inside the place. And I'm just like, oh, and now people are kind of looking like, oh, what's happening to this person? I'm
no,
like,
oh, no, you did not.
Oh, no. And so I'm like, okay, sorry, you know, type thing.
Like, sorry, yeah. I've got the bubble guts.
Yeah, it was like, you know, I'm tall, so I would say I bumped my knee or something like that.
Yeah, I'm faking a stomach cramp. Yeah. That's happening.
And
I got the trots.
What happens very next play, right? So that happens, then interception, and again, and I actually kind of hit the production table behind me.
Sir,
kind of like,
can you
yeah,
excuse yourself?
It's one of those things. I was like, yeah, let me walk out of here, man. Let me go ahead and walk out of this play real quick. So I walked out, finished the presser, and Dan Lanning's post game. Oh my God, man!
Well, as people have said, that is. Cocaine and football form right there.
Yo.
He's all geeking, just
yeah, seriously. Like you can tell it's pouring out of his port. Like, bro, that was the most to see your coach, if you're a Ducks fan, to see your coach that juiced after a win like that.
Dude, he almost damn near cried.
You can tell he's holding back tears. Special. Like that was with that in that environment, and shout out to Penn State because that was impressive. Like, I mean, that's the way you host a football game. That's the way you show up for your
buddy.
Team and everything. Shout yeah. out to them for that white out there. That was something to see on TV.
My buddy Tanner went to the game. It was him, his fiance, and his parents. I tried to convince him. I was like, hey, man, make a stop at Hershey Park. It's great. It's a great time. Hershey Park's fantastic. Hit up Punxsutawney while you're out there, or Gettysburg even, you know, get yourself a historical lesson. He did not do any of those. He just went to the game. But
I'll pass it in the car. Oh, it's this Gettysburg right there.
A lot of burgs out there though. There's Harrisburg, Gettysburg, and this burg and that burg. It's they kind of ran out of ideas out there when naming towns.
Couldn't
come
up with anything original, I suppose.
By the way, Clemson just absolutely destroying North Carolina. It's 28-3, and it's not even the end of the first quarter.
Let's go, Dabo.
But he said, and he is an Oregon season ticket holder. He said that Oregon. Tailgate wise, we got to step our game up. He said,
I believe it.
He said that he has never seen so many RVs in one space. Just the overall sprawl of the parking lot and crowd and everything, it just went on forever, seemingly. And he said, just some of the traditions and things they did in the tailgate, they do this thing called the Penn State Communion. Where they essentially just get all the away fans like in the middle of a circle, and it's all just Penn State fans that surround them, and they make you sing the fight song of like Oregon or the team that you're there for. And then once you're done singing it, everybody has a shot, and then they just start like screaming.
Hurling shots at you?
No, they just start screaming, just ah! And then you have to take the shot, and it's just like, it's just straight up like tribal, cultish, primal behavior out there.
Yeah.
And then they showed me this one video of this like guy who definitely is still wishing he could go back to his glory days of college. And he's like, this shot here, this is for Joe Pa, 409 wins.
No. No. No.
I was like,
sorry, bro. We can't do that.
And we got a very mixed reaction from the crowd. It was
all the olds probably like, yeah, let's do this. All the young people were like, yeah, nah, we're not taking a shot to that. I'm not drinking my White Claw to that.
But yeah, I mean, he did say, he's like, we got to step up. They had a seafood boil out there.
I'll say
like,
this.
They're in the middle of Pennsylvania. Where are they getting seafood?
And I'm going to go ahead and speak for Oregon State, too. I've been to a couple Oregon State games. The tailgate, not popping. Not cracking. Oregon, for as good as it is as a football program, their tailgates should be booming, and they're not. They're not before the game, not after the game. Like, you'll find a space, like when you get to the parking lot and everything like that. Yes, it there is stuff going on, but it's not. I've been to an. I don't know if you've ever been to an SEC football game.
I have not. That, you want to talk about a bucket list item for me? It's an SEC game.
Trauma aside for me from going to that SEC game and what it bought.
Go Vols, baby.
Man, that there was nothing. I've never seen anything like that. I went to a Tennessee-Florida game once before in Rocky Top in Tennessee. Like, that was insane. The town shut down. If you're going to do tailgating stuff, that's the way you want to do it.
Yeah, that's it's been one of my bucket lists. So my grandpa lived in Eldon, Missouri, which is just north of the Ozarks, almost dead center Missouri. And so there was years ago, I tried to figure out what's the closest SEC stadium. And technically it was Mizzou, which
still, if you go there on a Saturday, if they're playing Texas, Florida, Alabama, you know, it's going to be rocking.
Yeah, but also it's just like if I were to go to an SEC game for the first time ever, I'm not going to Mizzou. Like, you know, I want it to be a Bama, LSU, an Ole Miss.
But I could almost guarantee that if we're talking about just for the tailgate, I can almost guarantee that would blow Oregon's out of the water.
Mizzou?
Absolutely. I can almost guarantee any SEC school, that's what they do is football. And it's a seller, especially in small towns. That's what they do. Like, it's, yes.
In a small town.
I can almost guarantee it.
I don't know if we have any Mizzou alum or anybody that's been to a Mizzou football game that is listening to the program right now. But if you have, you can text in 503-864-6326 or chime in on the YouTube chat. But yeah, I mean, I would, you know, without even knowing, I would like to bank that Oregon better tailgate than Mizzou.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm gonna put my name on it.
I've seen Oregon tailgates against, you know, the Washingtons and against. I just and at that point it gets no bigger. But yeah,
executive producer Swag telling us to wrap it up. Can't escape that guy. What the hell? All right,
Swag's still here.
Well, yeah, you just gotta, you know.
Yeah, nothing to do on Saturday.
All right, let's get hour number two going. We got some playoffs to get to. We got a divisional series to get to. We should have called Schultzy. We should have got boots on the ground.
We still
Schultzy.
Can.
Maybe we'll effort for a Schultzy call in. Maybe he's still on the road. I don't know. No. We got that. We got some NFL to get to. We got who do you love? We got a loaded second hour right here on Sports Saturday on the Fan Sports Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos.
Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.